Each one of us decides in our own heart if we will believe in God, or the universe connected by some obscure power, or if we will reach to other forms of spirituality. You alone make the final choice as to where to place your faith. But to leave these matters unattended in our hearts is similar to leaving a ship unanchored on the ocean and hope the wind never comes up. Anchors or guiding stars in your life shouldn't be left until the last minute, or wait until circumstances overtake you or panic has set in. Do you know if you're that good in an emergency that you can prepare at the last minute for a crisis or during a crisis? Take the time now to answer questions about what you believe, what's really important to you. At Daleville Christian Church, we have an affirmation for our faith each week. This one from 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. The reading of God's word for today is from Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. Jesus is speaking and says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." Now that we hope we have made ourselves more secure during the worship at Daleville Christian Church by locking the entrances, it's time for me to talk about violence in the Bible, especially since we seem to be experiencing so much violence in our country recently. You may recall recently, May 31st, Virginia Beach, Virginia, a gunman, an employee, killed 12 people, injured 4 others at a city public works building. The gunman died at the scene after being shot by police. May 18th, in Muncie, Indiana. One person was killed, 6 other people were wounded at a house party near the campus of the university. April 30th, 2019, in Charlotte, North Carolina, a student at the University of North Carolina Charlotte campus shot 6 people, 2 fatally on the last day of classes. There's been so much violence in this country that I could never simply refer to any of these events as the shooting or the mass murder. There are too many of those to be identified so simply. We have to add the place of the shootings, or the town, or the victims. I don't think you will be surprised by any of the Bible references that I make today. You might be surprised where this sermon does go or where the sermon does not go. I will try to keep the statistics to a minimum. Whether we ever did agree or did not agree that there was too much violence in our media, film, television, video games, even toys, whether we agreed on that or not, I'm certain that most Christians, even most Americans of whatever religious faith, if any religious faith, most Americans would agree there's too much violence today on our streets, in our schools, and in our towns. So the problem of too much violence is the problem, and most folks can agree on that. What we cannot agree on is what, if anything, can be done to reduce the violence. And any agreement quickly breaks down as to what measures, if any, would be most effective, most efficient, least disruptive in a free society. One complaint about the Bible by those who like to complain about the Bible is that the Bible is a very violent book. The faithful can offer no defense on that point, except to say this. The Bible is violent because we, human beings, are violent. The Bible does not believe in a peace-loving people. One exception to that, and I'll get to it eventually. But the Bible does not believe in a peace-loving people. The first murder in the Bible, everyone here knows that. First murder in the Bible occurred in the first human family. They were brothers in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, in the first few chapters of the first book of the Bible. Chapter 4, verse 8. Friends, Adam and Eve were only banished from Eden in chapter 3, verse 23. 9 verses later, there was a murder. People did not waste any time getting around to killing each other. As far as the Bible is concerned, peace on earth once existed for 9 verses. It's been downhill ever since. Now maybe you would say to me what my older sister used to say to me until she read the whole Bible. She would say, yeah, but that's in the Old Testament. Yes. Yes, it is. Our Old Testament. The Bible's Word of God Old Testament, where we read just 3 chapters later that the Lord God, that is 3 chapters later in the book of Genesis, that the Lord God planned to start over, saying to Noah, I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. Noah was of the family of Adam. When Jesus was born, as the Apostle Paul wrote to us in the New Testament, in the Good News version, of the first Adam, not first Noah, we were born from flesh, like Adam and Noah. Jesus came, the second Adam, that we might be born again, born of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. But until anyone is born from above, they are certainly first born from the dust of the earth, like first Adam, with all the disadvantages of being born from Adam, prone to violence. But being born of the first Adam, we remain a violent people until, of course, Jesus brought us new life. Does anyone here want to put in a word about peace-loving human beings at this point? 9 verses out of the Bible, out of Eden, and there's murder and blood. Our human hands get bloody very quickly in the Bible history. Now, having taken note of our own violent nature as human beings, and we've noted the most recent acts of violence and murder in our country, you might be interested to know that one professor, Steven Pinkard, Harvard College professor of psychology at Harvard University, wrote a book entitled The Better Angels of Our Nature. The title is taken from Abraham Lincoln. Professor Pinkard's book is subtitled Why Violence Has Declined. That's right. Professor Pinkard argues, through more than 700 pages of his book, that violence in the world has declined. Although his book was written a few years ago, a more recent review of the book states that it's a very worthwhile book, just as important today. Pinkard drives home the fact that violence is much less acceptable than it used to be for a variety of reasons, and that unacceptability has come about as humans have developed civilization and sought out ways to live together more peacefully. Fair enough. Now, let me ask, does anyone care? Even if Professor Pinkard's statistics were rock solid and convincing to anyone and everyone, would anyone care? Do any of the victims' families care that violence is declining? Anyone injured in the Las Vegas shooting? Do they care? 58 were killed, 422 were wounded. Ask them if they care that their numbers are in decline. Does statistical improvement make any of us less fearful? Does it make anyone feel safer at work, or at school, or at church, or synagogue, or mosque? If I tell you, as I already have, a few weeks ago, more people in this country die from suicide than murder, does anyone feel safer? No. So are things worse than ever? No. Does it matter? No. We have the same problems. Or, as Jesus said, we have the same problem. We have the same problem that Jesus had with us. We have the same problem that God has had since the beginning. Our problem is this: the human heart. Well, friends, there's good news and bad news. The good news is that God has been working on this problem directly, hands-on, for 2,000 years. The bad news: human beings, as a species, are not working on this problem. Even when we think we are working on this problem, we're looking in the wrong place. The local chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense held an event Friday at City Hall. That's an organization, Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense. The governor of Virginia recently announced last Tuesday he will summon lawmakers back to the state capitol this summer to take up a package of gun control legislation, saying last week's mass shooting in Virginia Beach calls for votes and laws, not thoughts and prayers. Friends, faithful Christians know that prayer is always a more long-term solution to an immediate problem. And prayer is not very efficient. The most fruitful area for our efforts, we as Americans do not want to touch: the issue of involuntary treatment. That is, involuntary treatment of mental health disorders. It's the reason that we have so few mental health facilities now. Remember when state mental hospitals existed? They don't much anymore. Central Indiana Hospital for the Insane has been closed for years. One of the buildings recently reopened as a museum. At one time, doctors there cared for 3,000 patients. Logansport State Hospital, once named the Northern Indiana Hospital for the Insane. In the year I was born, treated more than 2,500 patients. Today, there are 105 beds. And this is because everyone got well? No. But years ago, we were closer to doing something about the real problem: us, our minds, our hearts, the real problem. Jesus said, "For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man." From the heart come evil thoughts and murders. So according to Jesus, our best efforts for the most long-lasting effects is to target the hearts of people. Now, that's not to say that nothing else will work. Other measures might be more helpful in the short term. Our Lord Jesus told us all that violence does not solve violence. Then Jesus told him, "Put your sword back in its place." You may remember the Apostle Peter had drawn a sword, hurt another man. And Jesus said, "Put your sword back in its place, because all who take up a sword will perish by a sword." Violence begets violence. We know this. Domestic violence is often, most often, handed down, generation to generation. And most of our prisons are full of people who were abused as children. Mental health in American homes cannot be taken for granted. The mother of Columbine High School killer Dylan Klebold, Sue Klebold, wrote a memoir, A Mother's Reckoning, living in the aftermath of tragedy, that is, Columbine. It was published in 2016. In her book and in her TED Talk, Sue Klebold calls for more mental health awareness and mental health treatment opportunities. And Sue Klebold donated all her profits from her book to mental health charities. But let's step away from the perpetrators themselves. Let's look at those most likely to become killers, people who hate. The clearest examples of this recently are the synagogue shooting in Philadelphia, the temple shooting in Wisconsin. That was August 5, 2012. A mass shooting took place at the Gurdwara, that's a Sikh temple. Sikhism is a religion which grew mostly out of India in the Far East. And there was a mass shooting at this Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, where 40-year-old Wade Michael Page fatally shot 6 people and wounded 4 others. Mr. Page was an avowed white supremacist. John Ernest in California hated Jews and Muslims, killing 1 Jewish woman at the synagogue and setting fire to a mosque down the street from where he shot the woman. Can hearts be turned before someone else is killed? Our Bibles say yes, they can be. We claimed it this morning in our affirmation of faith. You and I are a new creation. We are new versions of ourselves through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We're discovering a new way to be human. We learn new ways so that we do not have to kill by weapons, and we ourselves do not have to die by others' weapons. Now, this story was under the radar a few weeks ago, but I noticed it right away. And you are aware that there are more hate groups in this country, that they're at a record high in 2018. There are more people more willing to sign up to be a part of a hate group. But there's another way. Ken Parker was a U.S. Navy veteran who said he grew up in a good Christian family outside Chicago, but was drawn to hate groups and joined them. After attendance at the Charlottesville, Virginia rally, where one woman was killed, Parker was approached by a filmmaker who herself was a Muslim. It was through his interactions with her that Parker was moved to leave the hate group he had supported. Parker decided that he and others like him looked foolish. What's the phrase we use? The man had a change of heart. Ken Parker had a change of heart. Come to find out, there are people who study this. In a 2015 study was published of 34 former white supremacists, which are one of the oldest types of hate groups in the United States, the study examined the process of exit from these groups. Findings suggested that exiting is a multifaceted process with a variety of factors that influence a person's decision to leave. And from all the work I've done on the topic of love, people still have trouble pinpointing what it is that attracts them to others and what repels them away from others. The Bible says our hearts can be hardened, that we can lose heart, that we can search our hearts. The prophet Jeremiah told the people, "You will seek me and find me, says the Lord, when you search for me with all your heart." Again, I know that this solution is not going to find a lot of support. However, we do know that this so-called solution works. Having said that, Ken Parker, the hate group member, while he was a member of that hate group, I should mention Ken Parker had regular Bible studies where they particularly looked for anti-Semitic verses of the Bible. You see, without a context, without a bigger picture about what the Bible is about, as I mentioned at the beginning of the message, a person can find plenty of violence in the Bible. I just have to wonder out loud, Jesus said 7 times in different places in Matthew's gospel, Matthew's written by a Jew, Jesus said, "Follow me." Did Jesus demonstrate hate toward the Jews or anyone else? Jesus, who forgave the Romans and forgave the Jews who had a hand in his crucifixion. How did Ken Parker miss that in the Bible, when Jesus said, "Follow me"? Now, friends, I admit prayer is not an efficient answer to changing hearts, but when prayer is effective, it is often permanently effective. Let's continue to pray for victims and perpetrators. We pray that hearts can and will be touched. We pray for healing, the healing of hearts. We pray for mental health. Jesus, who put the demon-possessed man in his right mind. Remember the demon-possessed man of the Gerasene region? This is how he is described. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. Many times, the demon had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Mark's gospel adds this description: no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When Jesus heals the man, this is how he is described. Sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. The man was at peace, and people could see it. The transformation was so dramatic that the people who saw it were afraid. And even before they arrived in the area of the Gerasene, there had been a storm on the lake. Jesus had been asleep, so the disciples awakened him, quite afraid for their safety. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, we're going to drown." And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Calm. Peaceful. So was the just healed demon man. Peaceful, sitting. The man was clothed, the Bible is sure to tell us, because when he was possessed, the man tore his clothes off. Jesus can bring peace. You and I can be a people of peace because of Jesus. Peace in our hearts, peace with God. And reconciled to one another. We made that claim also today. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah at his first sermon, where Isaiah declared in chapter 61, "I will bandage up their hearts. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and with hope, you and I can say, Amen.